We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Alex Mutz. Alex, an Army veteran who, after serving 6 years, got his first job as a jewelry salesman. He later became an assistant buyer and business development professional handling projects ranging in digital marketing strategy, new product research and buying, and business strategy for a jewelry retailer. He founded his company, 143 Diamonds, which specializes in ethically grown diamond jewelry. He believes that in every conversation, there's a networking opportunity to be gained. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I am very excited for this conversation. I think you've got a really interesting business model that you've started. So why don't you just talk a little bit about what it is that you're doing and what is 143 Diamonds?
Okay. So 143 Diamonds is a logistical solution for local independent jewelers that want to sell ethically grown diamonds. It's a new niche in the marketplace that a lot of local jewelers don't have access to the pricing that an e-commerce platform can have. So we try to hook them up with, the supply chain as well as a white labeled e-commerce storefront for them to be able to show their customers 360-degree images of diamonds and all that kind of stuff. We found that customers are over 90% of the time they're trying to find a diamond and they start on Google search. What don't we start on Google?
Right. Yep.
Exactly.
That's my world.
Exactly. Right. So what happens is, these bigger companies come in after that keyword's in and they really undercut the local jeweler. Mm-hmm. Then in turn, what happens is they get the entire sale and, the jeweler gets nothing and he's stuck fixing the problems afterwards. So what we're trying to do is give them the tools and resources to be able to showcase those. And at the same time, starting a movement within it, because there's a lot of things that are wrong with the mine industry. And I think lab-grown diamonds can fix that.
All right. So we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But how has digital advertising and e-commerce affected the jewelry industry's consumer buying process? What has changed?
Yeah. So that's really – well, first of all, this is a weird statistic, but what percentage do you think of people buy engagement rings as couples versus a single male?
So the – well, I know that – and this was – 13 years ago,
okay.
I picked out my engagement
ring
with my husband.
Now,
did you
feel like that was like weird or were you just kind of like, it is what it is?
It was just a...
You'd rather know what you're getting, right?
Well, yeah.
Exactly. have you ever seen a Pinterest board? It's like 50 different variations
sure.
on a page.
Well, Pinterest came out after I got married.
Well, true.
But I'm sure, but if it was back in the day, that's what I exactly...
You were definitely scrolling though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But I plan all my tattoos on Pinterest now. So.
Do you really?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, and that's usually my first question. If I'm ever dealing with a customer, I'm always like, can I just see her Pinterest board?
Cause sure.
It'll have a better idea.
Yeah, totally.
So that in itself, just access, mm-hmm. Has really, really changed the whole game. Being able to have 1,000 different variations at your fingertips,
mm-hmm.
and then being able to show that customer before they even walk in your store that you're accredited and you're trustworthy and all of that. So the online space has become so important within the industry, and the industry itself has really not been very prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of industries are a little slow.
The jewelry industry is pretty old.
It is old. Yes. There's definitely lots of old jewelry just in my jewelry box at home.
So, really?
Very cool. So you were just about to touch on this, and then I cut you off and asked you a question. But when you say your diamonds are ethically grown, what exactly does that mean?
So it shocked me too. So I was in my first management meeting for this jewelry store I worked for, and the buyer at the time had said, hey, one of our competitors is selling this thing called grown diamonds. And the whole room kind of chuckled. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
But I – I raised my hand. I was like, hey, are they actually grown or what does that mean? Like, are they cubic zirconias? What are they? It's like, no, they're real diamonds. They're just grown. I'm like, I'll take that. Like, that'll be my first project. And they gave me that as a project.
Oh, cool.
So I started doing my research, started trying to find the hole in it because I grew up the same way everybody else did, thinking that every jewelry salesman's out to get you, you know, like, you know, or any salesman for that matter. I don't know. We were all just raised that way.
Sure. Yep.
But the further and further I dug, the more legitimate this was, and the more and more I fell in love with it, with the idea behind not needing to mine for something that we hold so dear in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Really intrigued me and got me really going. So these are actually diamonds. So they grow from a carbon seed. They're over 98% carbon, which is what is a mined diamond.
Mm-hmm.
They're type 2A, which is the rarest of diamonds mined. But they're chemically, physically, optically identical down to the molecular structure. The biggest and best difference is, one, they don't cause economic hardship and the environmental hardship. And they're way less expensive. So, I mean, it just makes sense to me. It's a no-brainer. But so when I say grown diamond, I mean it's a diamond that was grown through two separate processes, either one being chemical vapor disposition or they're using HPHT, which is just high pressure, high temperature, where you're just mimicking what happens underneath the Earth's surface.
Over many, many, many years.
Yeah. You know, and that's the other thing. This is a good note too. So that's like one of the major arguments the mining industry uses. They're like, well, ours are really old and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And my question is always, if they're that old, then why don't you price them differently based on their age?
Okay.
Well, the answer to that is you can't actually tell. I mean, some diamonds are grown in hours underneath the Earth's surface in volcanic chutes.
Sure.
And there's some that are grown in over the course of billions of years. There's only one way to find that out, and that's if you carbon date the actual imperfection of the diamond, which would mean you'd have to ruin it.
Sure.
So
interesting.
Their argument is something that really doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. All right. So you obviously are very passionate about what it is that you're doing, and that is shown right in this conversation, which is great. What is your favorite part of your job and why?
So the favorite part of mine, I really like the surprise proposal.
Okay.
Right? I like the idea of the romance in all of us. I think we all got it, but a lot of times because of the accessibility that we have, we get nervous purchasing something that we don't think that they'll love. We want her to be happy, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So I created a solution that solved that. And I thought that was the coolest thing was saying, hey, you know, you don't have to buy her the ring to propose. You just give her a free ring, you know, and just make the moment really what matters more than what you're giving her.
Yes.
And so I love surprises. So anytime that I get a customer that'll purchase in the area that I have time, I always make it a point to try to get a crew together, go see them. I help the proposer propose, plan it, do all of it. And then there's this one moment where you know it was actually a surprise. And that's he drops down on one knee and like it's sheer panic.
Sure.
And it's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing. It makes it all worth it.
Oh, do you have a lot of those captured moments then?
We got about, I think we've done 4 or 5.
Oh, cool.
My favorite one so far was actually my brother's.
I saw that on the video
website. How cool
was
that?
That was amazing.
Right?
That
she
was such
like,
a cool story.
She's like parachuting down and her feet are kicking as she's screaming. It's hilarious. but it was just perfect. We almost didn't make it.
Oh,
the tarp itself was late. She's already in the air.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my brother's like, where's the tarp? It says, will you marry me? That was funny.
What a great story.
Right?
That's so fun. All right. So obviously the show is about networking. And my goal with this show is to remove the fear and the uncertainty that's associated with networking and to really just show that it's positive and it's part of business, really.
Right.
So can you share with our listeners and our viewers as we have our first live...
Well, hello there.
Video recording here. So can you share your most successful or favorite networking story or experience that you have?
It was actually pretty recently.
Okay.
So I started this business, right? And, you know, one of the things that, like I said, the jewelry industry, I created a ton of networking opportunities mm-hmm. within the industry, but trying to penetrate the industry makes it hard if you're trying to talk to the same people that don't want to change anything.
Yes.
So I knew right away, like, I need to get completely away from this industry and try to talk to people that I know of that have the skills and the talent that are needed, but have a fresh set of eyes. So I had an opportunity to interview for this program called Generator in Madison.
Okay.
And it's like an investment incubator type thing. They help you. And at the time, I didn't know any of this. I just thought, okay, I'm gonna throw my name in the hat.
Yeah.
See what happens. So I had a couple phone interviews, and then I started doing the research about VC funding and how all that kind of stuff works. And I'm like, wow, I was not ready for that interview. Right? but they were really cool. They sent me an email shortly after and said they had another program that, you know, that was for newer businesses and, you know, lower level, but still really what I needed.
Uh-huh.
So I interviewed for that. And I ended up getting in.
Cool.
One of the five companies I got in to the cohort. And just that experience alone opened up so many doors, not only for myself professionally, but for the business itself. They're still opening up doors. It's a community of people that are just amazing. And they all have the same goal, which is to not only succeed, but see each other succeed.
Yeah.
So I remember walking in, I was so nervous. It was so nerve-wracking, especially speaking to someone that doesn't know really anything about your jewelry industry. Jewelry industry has really lost a lot of luster over the years.
Okay.
You know, so trying to revive that and talk about something like you're passionate about it, it takes a little bit of, I don't know, it's just a little different. But yeah, it was great. That was probably my favorite. And one of my most successful ones, because I really had to step out of my comfort zone to do that, because a lot of the things I was doing, I didn't even know. I got the phone call back from them, and I was in the car, and they had to make a decision that night on who they were going to accept.
Uh-huh.
So I had to pull over. I'm in my car, and I'm on speakerphone, and I'm pitching my business. Yeah. And she's like, and she's told me, she's like, no, I think this is great. I love it. I want you to come in for an in-person interview.
Sure.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay. So drove home, started working on it, and it all worked out.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really cool. But being uncomfortable and getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is important.
That, and there's a lot of truth to that. I think that a lot of people just think that if they're uncomfortable, that means stop.
Right.
But
there's a lot of ways it is, right?
To some degree, yes. You know, you're trained. When you're a kid, you learn, like, that's hot, don't touch, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
That's uncomfortable. I'm not going to get near that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost kind of bred into us to some degree, but...
Yeah, I think every person or every human wants to feel safe, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting away from that in the business atmosphere is one of the most important things, because being safe is another word for complacency. Within business, and I think it's important, but it's hard to do. It's not easy.
And today you can't be that.
No, it's too fast.
Lots of truth to that. So you've really expanded your network, and we didn't really cover your military career, but I'm sure you've met a ton of people in that space, in the jewelry space, and obviously with this really cool incubator program that you are part of. What do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network?
Just being there, being available is really big. And I value for my line of work and for what I'm trying to do, my personal network is so, so valuable to me. For one, because you're trying to create a movement or an educational factor into a very old industry, right? Well,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of advocates, and there's going to have to be a lot of trust there. So I really try to put myself out there. You know, whether that's, you know, saying yes to an event that I really don't want to go to because I got so much going on and I know that if I stay back, I could get some more work done.
Uh-huh.
But being there socially as far and emotionally for them and not asking them to do anything really, just checking in on them, send them a Snapchat, say what's going on, you know, because those are the people that are helping my business grow. Those are the people that say, hey, you know, when you're talking to someone that needs an engagement ring or needs to buy a diamond, who do you mm-hmm. think they're going to think of? And I think
yeah.
we forget because, you know, we get so busy in our day-to-day lives that we forget that not everyone's thinking about you,
mm-hmm.
even though you think in your mind everyone is. So just putting yourself out there on a Facebook post or something like that can really, your network's like, oh my gosh, I forgot Alex, my friend does that. You know, those are the kind of things
yeah.
that I find that are really successful for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be top of mind when
absolutely.
The time comes that, you know, someone
right.
needs to utilize the services that, that you're providing?
Yeah, so my personal network's been huge as far as that's concerned, but professional network on LinkedIn has been really cool. I've been able to really get a lot of people that are business and thought leaders within the industry to really start thinking differently about how our generation and younger generations think about the jewelry industry and what are some of the pain points and objections that we feel. And by doing that, I've opened up a lot of doors as far as conversations, because any business leader knows that they need to understand what's coming, because, I mean, who wouldn't want to know?
Totally. Absolutely. Very important. So interesting segue then. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
So it really depends what your motive is. You know, is your motive within the business that you're in, or is it to get away from it? And I urge people to not get away. I never thought of myself as a jeweler or someone that was going to be a diamond buyer, right? But I found that within the company that I was working for, there to be a lot of opportunities and a lot of things to learn. I mean, you don't work for someone that owns a business and they don't know a thing or two. So finding ways to better the place that you're in can really open up some doors, because the owner of the business that you're working at, the boss, the manager, whoever, wherever you're working, if you have an idea that truly will make something better, they know you're serious. You can't always put your best ideas into people that aren't with you every day. You're with them 9 to 5, you know.
Yep.
Try to make the workplace as good as you can, make things better, because there's a lot of things that you probably can do that'll make it better.
Yeah.
That's opened up a lot of doors for me.
I like that. Find a way to make it better.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So you started talking a little bit about Facebook and LinkedIn, and you even alluded to, you know, attending events even though you don't want to, which we've all been there. Digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Traditional. I find that if my first interaction with somebody is digital, I have a much harder time getting, the way the conversation that I'd like it to go. That's much different. It's much more difficult to do. Whereas if you're sitting face to face, I just like doing business that way. Sitting face to face, you can really get a lot. For one, your body language, how you're saying things. It really give me a sense of what you really mean, whereas everything digital can be really misunderstood. But it's really important still. I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously, I run a business off of it, you know.
Yep.
But as far as what I prefer, I would rather be able to meet everybody that I'd love to meet in person, but that's impossible.
Well, you're in the business of relationships.
Correct.
And that relationship is going to be so much stronger in person.
For sure.
Especially your relationships, which is probably the crown of all relationships, right?
Right, yeah.
That you can't have a relationship like that digitally. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that try.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a different space.
I guess I mean, like, as far as, like, professionally, like, reaching out.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, if I can get them in person and talk to them, it's much more in my comfort zone, because there's so much unknown when you're talking only digitally. But that being said, if you don't rely digitally to meet new people, you're going to be very limited, because that's where people meet.
Well, we were connected digitally.
Exactly.
And now we're face-to-face.
Boom, nailed right. it. Period. Next
right.
question.
Mic drop. Okay. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Stop worrying. God, I was in the military at the time. And one of the biggest things was, you know, I'm going to lose so much time, right? I wanted to do so many things. I wanted to be successful, wanted to have the things that I didn't have growing up, that kind of thing, you know. And I would worry myself almost into being sick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really bad. And then I got to a point where I just started looking and researching and knowing that you can always learn something no matter where you're at. You know, I spent some time overseas, and in that time I learned more in a year than I ever learned anywhere else.
Sure.
But being open to learning and being open to learn no matter where you're at is really kind of what the advice I would give myself. And just stop worrying, dude. It's going to be okay. You work hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I think, you know, remove the worry. And someone shared with me once that worrying is like praying for the bad to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like you're putting all your energy in that as opposed to having
correct
positive, you know, energy being pushed out to
the I like world. That saying. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's a tattoo coming right
now. Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Like socially or professionally?
Anything.
Oh, man. Can I have two?
Sure.
All right. Socially, I would love to meet Will Ferrell.
Yeah. He's awesome.
He's amazing. And I'm having a brain fart right now. Who's the guy that plays Michael Scott? It's God, what's his name from The Office?
I know.
Why am I? Steve Carell.
Yes. Okay.
Good Lord, that was horrible.
Shame on me too.
Carell is a genius.
As soon as you said that, his picture was in my head. Like, yeah. Being, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he's.
But then I only saw him in The Office and not all the other roles.
Yeah.
He's
what?
He's got some I'm saying like. In my head.
In your head.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Continue on.
He's amazing. He's so funny. and then probably professionally, I don't know if it would work out. I don't know a crazy amount about him, but Daymond John, he did some pretty amazing things in the fashion industry, and he really started from nothing, and he was penetrating an industry that was very controlled and very set in its ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I see a lot of similarities there as far as that goes. And I don't know, I think picking his brain for a few days would be awesome. But a few minutes even, I would probably be okay with. And if I think that by the 6 degrees, that's like we're all connected, right? By mm-hmm. 7 degrees, that's kind of, what's that thing? Like, didn't they have
Kevin
like
Bacon.
Kevin yeah. Bacon, right? Yeah, yeah. who wants to meet Kevin Bacon?
I don't know.
You want to meet Kevin Bacon?
Nah.
Huh? Do I think I can meet him? If I put my mind to it, I probably could.
Yeah, and you have a starting point?
I would first try in the fashion industry, some of the connections I have there, mm-hmm. and see if they've overlapped as far as with clothing or yeah. they stay just
if you've got a connection, I'm sure there's a way to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
What about your famous celebrity? Will Ferrell and Steve Carell.
I would probably pick Steve Carell over Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you get to him?
Oh, God, that one. Goodness gracious. I had to strategize about that one.
Okay. Where there's a will, there's a way,
oh,
right?
Yeah. If I put my mind to it, I get to them.
Okay. So as most entrepreneurs, and you kind of alluded to this, you know, continue learning and everything, I'm a knowledge junkie myself, and I'm just curious what books my guests are into and reading right now. So,
sure.
So what book are you reading?
So I do audiobooks. Never been a reader. It's just something I've never been able to do.
Okay.
It's been weird. But so I've gotten into audiobooks, whether I'm commuting or I listen to a little bit on the way here. But it's Daymond John has a book called The Power Broke. And it's pretty inspirational, that guy. I mean, I'm not through all of it, but just knowing his backstory and where it came from, it's pretty motivational.
Yeah.
You know, just the grind, you know, and that's what it is. And, you know, I feel like it's an overused term, but it's not.
Yeah.
But it's truly not. It's you have to grind.
It is what it is, right?
It is what it is.
It doesn't magically just come and here you have a ton of business.
It's one of my favorite sayings. You know, and the doubt, the knowing and understanding and accepting the doubt and using that as motivation is one of the things I've always done. People that say no to me, I get more motivated by that than pretty much anything.
Huh, that's cool. Good motivator.
Oh, yeah.
Great. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
You know, find a problem. And put your energy into fixing that, whether that's at your daily work, whether that's your future business that you think you start. Find a problem, big or small, and fix it. You'll be surprised how many doors that will open. Whereas if you just focus on networking just for networking's sake, a lot of people can read right through that, especially the people that you want to network with.
Mm-hmm.
They know what you're doing.
Yeah.
They're pretty intelligent. That's why that's where they are.
Yeah.
But if you network to them through a problem that you fixed, it really gives you a sense of credibility and it lets them know you for real.
Yeah.
So find a problem, solve it.
Sounds good. All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, Alex, what's the best way that they can reach you?
You can shoot me an email at alexmutz@143diamonds.com. You could do follow us on Instagram or on Twitter, Facebook. My personal Facebook is somewhere in there. If you can find me, then cool.
And of course, check out the website.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. 143diamonds.com. And then my personal, I think, is alexander.david for Facebook, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. Well, we will include those links in the show notes.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
I really appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Yeah, good conversation, good tips and advice for our listeners.
Awesome.
Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Alex for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.